RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I think the NFL, pro sports in general, deserves this kind of scrutiny. Not even that controversial. It's just, I wonder if Love plays if Green Bay isn't clinched for the playoffs. They're in for sure. Very little left to be decided, sadly, disappointingly, with 2 weeks to go in the NFL season in terms of who is going to the playoffs and who is not. Nothing in the NFC except the NFC South winner, which isn't itself that exciting anyway, Carolina and Tampa Bay, but it's something. And then in the AFC, you have the Steelers-Ravens thing, which is almost all over already, but not quite, with Pittsburgh. And then Indianapolis has around a 5% chance of getting in, but nothing better than that. We know the teams for the most part. Sal Capaccio with me now on the Wester Hotline. Sal, how was your day yesterday?
It was good. It was good. It wasn't a lot of really good football, but we knew that going in. You know, nothing to really say like, oh my gosh, I'm really looking forward to this. But I was looking forward, I guess, mostly to that night game and thought the Chiefs had a shot. And sure enough, they did. But, you know, didn't go their way. Hang out, went to my mom's house yesterday. That was nice. So I had to spend the day with family, and it was good. It was good. Hope you had a good day, too.
I did. Kansas City paying it all back in the close games department this year. Just,
yes.
They have an overtime win over the Colts, but every other one-score game, I think they've lost. Kind of the opposite of last year. I didn't see much of anything yesterday, but I wanted to bring this up about Washington, and maybe you saw this. Do you know Washington's record this year in standalone games?
I do. I saw the stat, yes.
0-8.
0-7. 0-8. 0-8. And a negative 77 differential in points.
First of all, 8 standalone games? I mean, I don't know if anything was flexed either, because they've never been good this year. All 8 have been losses. The most since the 2010 Cowboys. They might have had 6 then. I'm not sure if this is like the all-time record. It might be, because there are more of these games than ever. I probably want to guess that it is. 8 losses in, you know, games that are not at 1 or 4:25 on Sundays. That's really all that is. It's amazing.
And then next year, they won't have that same treatment. I mean, they were put in that spot this year because of the season they had last year because of Jaden Daniels. But that's gone away. So next year, you won't see them in that spot. So who knows? Maybe they'll have a resurgence next year and they'll play this game or the following year. But yeah, I think they're going to be much, much less highlighted next year.
Yeah. So the Bills and the latest on injury, Sal. Jordan Poyer to miss this game. What will that mean as you see it?
Well, Well, I don't know how the Bills will necessarily play it from a down-to-down basis because they could match up, you know, personnel, and there could be different people out there. But I think generally the consensus would be because he went out there and he was the first guy out there, that Cam Lewis would be the natural first backup. He is also the natural backup to Taron Johnson. But they like Cam Lewis a lot, and he knows the system. He knows everything to do. So I think that he would probably be the guy to go there, and if something were to happen to Taron Johnson, then he also then goes in and fills in for him, and then you'd have probably Jordan Hancock go back and play safety. Interestingly, though, I do think Darnell Savage is an interesting guy here because we haven't seen him yet in a Bills uniform, and I wonder what they feel about him, what he could bring to the table. He's been here for a few weeks, but that's personnel-wise. Otherwise, I think, you know, what Jordan has meant to settle down the secondary has been a lot. What he's meant to Cole Bishop has been really great. You know, but Sean McDermott made a good point today. He said Cole's kind of used to different guys there. He played a lot with DeMar. He played a lot with Jordan Poyer. He played a lot with Taylor Rapp. So they're not concerned about that. And I would understand that as well. But I do like the combination that it's been with Jordan Poyer and Cole Bishop. And Poyer had a really good game last week. So let's hope that it's just not something that's going to keep him out long term. You were just talking about, you know, if the Packers had it, didn't have it clinched, would they go with Jordan Love? I think the Bills have to also start thinking about that, Mike. And I think Sean McDermott answered a question like that today, interestingly enough, to kind of give you an indication that they're starting to think like that a little bit when it comes to management and guys and injuries and where they are right now.
Well, that's been something we've talked about for a while here. This season has always been tracking to the point we're at, which is they will still have something to play for. It might even be the division title. They can't lay down with all their right. good players, but it could end up being a little bit more of an effort than they'd prefer to take or make because they're likely to be a wild card here. So what do you think this is going to look like, Sal, whether it's this game or next week, meaning if they're still a game behind New England, what do you think it'll look like if McDermott indeed wants to play it carefully?
I think they still play their regular complement of players. There's only so many you can sit, as you said. It's a 48-man roster. I think you're scoreboard watching if you get it next week, to be honest with you. Now, we don't know what next week's schedule looks like. It could kind of solve itself before they need to, right? I mean, the league could put the Patriots. Let's just say the Bills and Patriots have the same result this week, so they do go one more week. The league could put the Patriots on Saturday, and the Bills would know by Sunday if they should rest guys or not.
I want to say, though, they probably wouldn't do that. I mean, maybe there are exceptions to this, but in a situation like that, they want to have the two teams playing simultaneously so that nobody gets an advantage knowing the other's result.
I 100% agree. I know how that works. I believe they had this kind of similar situation with the Chiefs a few years ago, and they played them on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like the Chiefs were going for the one seed, and they won, and they got it, so everybody else knew that they couldn't get the one seed.
I just wonder if that's different than a division race.
It could be. Yep, it could be very well. So let's just say, though, you're right. So let's go back to the original part. The way I'm thinking, Mike, is so then you're probably scoreboard watching. You're putting them on the same time, let's say 1 p.m. Sean McDermott is trying to win the game, but people are telling him what's going on in the Patriots and Dolphins, and the Patriots have a 2-touchdown lead in the second half. Maybe you start pulling guys out and go, okay, we're not going to risk anything here. I think it's really interesting. But he did give an indication today. What he said today was, when he met with the media, he did the Extra Point Show, his weekly appearance with me, and then he met with the media, so you get extra stuff there. And he was asked kind of this sort of question, and he said, you have to keep the main thing the main thing. He said, but you also have to multitask, and that's on me, he said, meaning him, where he wants everybody else to do what they're supposed to do, but he's got to kind of think about that and think through it. And I think that's interesting to even say that.
Mm-hmm. One other example of this kind of thing would be the year the Bills broke the drought, and and the Ravens were playing for that last spot, and they put both teams on at 4:25 or 4 o'clock so that one would not know the other's outcome. By the way, remember who the Dolphins' starting quarterback was for that game?
Was it Matt Moore? Fiedler? No.
Jay Cutler.
I can't remember which one. Cutler. Okay, man, I'm getting so many Dolphins.
There's a lot of them.
Backup quarterbacks, you know, in my brain here for a while. Yeah, you're right. And then in that game, Mike, they were getting updates on what was going on. Like, mm-hmm. you know, McDermott was. He wasn't, like, telling the team. But I'm telling you, I was there on the sidelines, and people were yelling it to the players, like, ah, you guys, you know, the Bengals are up. Oh, Ravens are winning. You know, and I remember that happening, and
sure.
McDermott's talked about that in the past. So we'll see. But as far as this week is concerned, the Patriots do play before the Bills. I don't expect the Patriots to lose. I expect fully the Patriots to win. However, I will say they are pretty depleted with some injuries.
Yes.
And the Jets are home, and Aaron Glenn is the kind of guy that's going to do whatever he can to spoil the party, right? He's just that kind of coach. He's going to want to – every win, every down is going to matter. So it is at least something to pay attention to.
I'm on the Jets. I told you that on Wednesday. I'll just hedge it by taking the points, but it's two touchdowns. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm expecting a close game, I guess is what I want to say.
I am too. I expect the Jets to keep it a little closer. They kept it close in New England on a Thursday night earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Different situation. But I do think the same thing. And look at, the Patriots are down. Mac Hollins, Booty, Milton Williams isn't coming back.
Right.
Harold Landry is out. Spillane is out. They're down, guys.
I like the Cutler trivia question for, like, opposing quarterbacks. That's the last game of his career. And he came right out. He left that game immediately. It was meaningless for Miami, and he played one possession. They punted, and he was never seen again. David Fales went in and played that game out for Miami. That's the game where the Bills break the drought and then go to the locker room. Of course, their game is over earlier, and they get to watch the Bengals upset from there. And the Bengals had a good lead that day and lost it. Baltimore came back on them. Early on, it looked like maybe Cincinnati was going to cruise, but ended up being the famous Tyler Boyd play.
You know, Mike, I think about this question you asked me, and I've been thinking about it a lot, too. And there's two parts to it. It's, you know, like, the division. You want to win the division. You want to have a home game. Like, why wouldn't you? I think that would be the number one thing that if it gets you to, okay, we got to play our guys. I do wonder about seeding, though, like, how much that matters to them. You know, like, you could, maybe the division isn't in the window anymore, but, well, if we win, got to go here. If you lose, you got to go here. And I don't know. I just, not that, you know, you talk about, you've talked many times about choosing your opponent in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that in a way that the Bills, they wouldn't have full control over that. I totally understand. But they could kind of find their way to it a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, it's still two weeks. And you can easily overthink this, trying to set up for a certain matchup. I think probably I would guess that the Bills just don't get that far, that it's we're going on the road. We want to be a little careful, 50-50, tiebreakers on injured players. But wherever it takes us is where it takes us, because that is very possibly three road games. And if you spend too much of an effort trying to pick out your path, you know, you're going to have a tough time being right, just with other results. I would like, let's talk about Denver for a minute, because you watched them last night. And much like New England and Jacksonville, like, these are teams that have almost no meaningful playoff history, recent history. They're newbies to this thing, but they've all had great seasons. Not so the Steelers. You could include the Chargers if you want here, with still a chance at the AFC West, or even Houston, I suppose. That's the theme this year in the AFC. Denver last night, I didn't see the game. I know it was a struggle, like you said. Sam Panayotovich on with me earlier said, the Bills would kill Denver. He's not even worried about it. I don't know. How good is Denver?
It's a tough question, because I don't want to sit here and go, well, I don't think they're that good. They won 13 games. You got to be good to win 13 games. I think they have a good coach who can be creative and put them in good spots. I wasn't super impressed with Knicks last night until he was making plays out of structure. That's kind of been who he's been lately. He's not been super accurate from the pocket. He was missing some throws last night, by the way. Threw a couple dimes, but he missed a few throws. He was good out of structure, out of the pocket, running, using his legs. They're very good on defense with certain, and, you know, getting after the passer. They can definitely do that for sure. But they've had some teams put a few numbers on them, including Jacksonville. So I just lump them in with a lot of teams in the AFC. I don't think there's any dominant team in the AFC. I think every team can beat any team that's in the field and lose to any team in the field. This is not a year where you have a Kansas City where it would just take everything's got to go right for you and wrong for them to beat them. That's not the case here against Denver or against Jacksonville or against Buffalo, to be quite honest. Like, it's going to come down to a few plays made here or there, and they've made their plays this year. They've won 11 one-score games this year. And that means they've made some plays in the moments they've made them. But, Mike, last night they're playing a really depleted, almost like a preseason type of roster with Kansas City, including the quarterback. And they were down late in the third quarter, and it took them a drive in the fourth quarter to ultimately win the game.
Right. Back to the Bills. Kincaid and Knox, both listed as questionable. That's the full list of questionable listed players, the two tight ends. Is there any way to rank? Are you doing this, ranking each guy's chances of playing? Who's more likely to sit or whatever?
Not ranking them, but I'm not, overly concerned about either guy playing, not playing, because they've kind of done this with Dalton Kincaid, and McDermott himself has said it's more injury management. It's why he's not practicing. He pops up in the injury report, and, I know a lot of people, oh, my God, there he is. He's hurt again. It's really just something they've been dealing with. They're trying to be smart with it, as Sean McDermott said, and he played last week, but he hasn't played a lot of snaps. So probably looking at the same thing again. He'll play, not get a ton of snaps, hopefully. But, Dawson, I will tell you, during the game, I could tell there was something. He was laboring a little bit. You could tell that. But he practiced today, and I don't think there's been – he finished the game last week. That's generally a sign that, he should be good to go. This is the kind of game where, you're probably going to lean on the run game a lot. It's not going to be a game where I think Dalton Kincaid has to be, super big in the passing game. It's not going to be the best weather necessarily. I think both these teams want to run the ball. So you're looking more at Jackson Hawes and Dawson Knox and Reggie Gilliam. So you're probably looking at kind of a similar pattern to what you saw last week.
The weather on Sunday, what, into the 30s, maybe a little wet?
It might be the worst kind of weather that you want for a game, which is mid-30s with rain.
Yeah, no fun at all.
I mean, that is just, not fun. Pat Hammer was on with me today on the Extra Point Show, and he said the same thing. He said it's just kind of most miserable football weather you can get. The rain will be more of a steady nuisance, he said. It won't be really hard rain. But you're looking at probably mid to high 30s, so closer to 40, which isn't too bad. The good news is not much wind at all, but pretty much a steady rain. And that's going to create a little bit of a slicker condition. He said, in Pat's opinion, he said, it's the kind of weather that's probably going to affect the field and the passing game and the kicking game.
Talking about the injuries, the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. What do you think of the Eagles? Are they, for you, close to what they were last year? They've had these seasons where they're almost like two parts, and that's gone both directions. This one, they were going along, it seemed, just fine, and then some bumps. Now lately, they've won a couple against weaker teams.
They're not the same team to me that they have been, but they still have so much talent. You just wonder when they're going to put together. It's almost like when we watch Kansas City the last couple of years at times going, yeah, but they're going to figure it out. They'll put it together. They'll just start beating the heck out of teams. And it just hasn't happened. Now, the last couple of weeks it has, right? But they played lesser opponents, so you don't really know what that is. But you're waiting for the running game and Saquon to just explode. And they've been better lately. But, he's had some struggles this year. And you're waiting for the big passing game to unfold. And they'll have a play here or a play there. What's really done it for them, though, their defense has been very good. They've been one of the better defenses in the league over the last month and a half, and that's what's kind of helping them win games and giving their offense opportunities to do what they have to do. But they have a few injuries. Lane Johnson is out, as you heard Zach say, and from Lou DiBiase, who was on our Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, he said, and I've heard this from other people, other than Jalen Hurts, he's probably the most important player on their offense, Lane Johnson, the way that they play and how good they are. I mean, Barkley, of course, but hasn't had necessarily the year. But their defense is good. They got some good young players over there. I just wonder about them. They're not locked into the three. They can get the two, but they're three or two, right? That's their seed. And they're going to be home, and they're probably going to play against, I guess they could play Green Bay, but they're going to play against either Green Bay or one of the NFC West teams. So it's an interesting spot for them as well.
It's very similar, isn't it? Both conferences are this, where how badly do you want it? If I'm Philadelphia, I'm not sure I want it that badly. I'm not sure which is better. I mean, I guess as a three, we've had this with the Bills. You go on the road in the second round if there are no upsets. Right. That's not, ideal. But
well, I think for them, if you get to the two, wouldn't you rather play Green Bay than the Rams coming to your place?
Probably. There's a 60-some percent chance that it's Seattle if the Niners win their two games. And, that's okay. It's interesting how it hasn't happened yet, but It's very possible Sam Darnold is putting down the exact same season that he just did for Minnesota.
I know.
He goes to a new team, and they're pretty much dominant until they get to the end. And if, like, what happened with Minnesota last year, they lost that last week and had to go to L.A., and suddenly 14 wins wasn't that great. And that's right where Seattle is. So, I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but could end up with the same conversation about him in the offseason. Like, all right, so what about it? All those wins, good for you. Maybe a couple Player of the Week awards or something, but, you know, what in the end was a very tough division. Who would be the team? Most people seem to say the Rams for this. Who would be the best? Who's the best team in the NFC? Like, who would be your pick?
Yeah, I think with all things equal, healthy, I think it's the Rams. I do, I think, but I don't think they're unbeatable. I mean, even, you know, the Seahawks beat them, and they've had a couple games where they haven't looked themselves, but for the most part, they are, I think, the best overall team, top to bottom, in the NFC.
Okay, well, it'll be an interesting one, maybe not the highest stakes. We talked about the schedule when it came out. I said all the time, I feel like they might have wasted Philadelphia, Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of did. I mean, there have been other big games, and can't have everything, but it's a little bit of an anticlimax here for these two. I'm with the Jets, though. So are you. Like, maybe that just sort of, you get a shocker there, and that just changes everything come 4/25 Sunday.
Oh my gosh,
if that happens. Then it's going to feel like we were wrong to complain about anything all year.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, then you'd be lamenting, going, "Oh my god, I can't believe they could get to the one seed if it wasn't for losing that one game or whatever," because they would have. You know, because Denver's sitting there right now. But you're right. I mean, you know, if it does happen, if something crazy were to happen and the Jets were to pull the upset, you're right. You roll into that 4:25 p.m. game with a much different vibe, I think, than what it currently stands. And you're like, I don't really know what this means right now.
Thank you, Sal. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. What's your outlet? Really, what is it? The Friday Drive at 5 is brought to you by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. By Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com. And by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break? Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Bulldog is, plain to see, not here. But he sent me picks. We both stunk last week. No ground was gained. He's got 5 games for me. I've got 5 games for him. And we will share this vital information with you after the update. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, even. Thanks for listening. Mike Shope here on WGR.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You want to have continuity. Continuity gives you a form this time of year and structure and just knowing each other defensively, or in this case, offensively in the pass game. That's important for us. And so we're very aware of that, heightened awareness of that, especially down the stretch. That's what we want. And where we're at are right now two different things. That's just being real with you here. So what we're trying to find that in order to get it to here, it's taken longer than we would have liked.
Sean McDermott on everybody's favorite subject, the passing game. Brandon Cooks. Well, not much continuity or history or anything with Brandon Cooks and the Bills. He does have one catch so far. Was it the first play in New England? He had one catch, and that's been it. Five targets. I mean, the names are almost, well, a little bit of, they're just a little bit funny at this point. All the different names that have been through. The idea that any of this rides on the likes of Cooks or Mecole Hardman, any of it, it's just, it's not ridiculous, but it's amazing that all these years of success and being so close, it might be that somebody from that list of names, who knows who it is, even Josh Palmer, who's that? Their big get in the receiving game in the offseason, 20 catches through 16 weeks. Yeah, injuries, but not like he was piling up numbers anyway. Thanks for listening, and Merry Christmas. That should have been easier once again. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off through New Year's Day. Joining me now on the Wester Hotline, a man you know well, Sam Paniatovic, host of the Chicken Dinner podcast, owner of at least one ugly Christmas sweater, eater of two Christmas dinners yesterday. The man has been through it. And Sam, how are you feeling post-Christmas?
Oh, I'm so fat, Mike. It's a problem. You know, I told the story on the show. Joe and I did a Christmas night show. And, you know, somebody that I met at your party was like, wow, you're in better shape than I thought. And then yesterday somebody told me I was putting on pounds. So it hadn't even been a week, Mike. And I've just been destroying my body with food. And, you know, when you're back home for the holidays, the discipline just goes right out the door. I can also tell you this. About 5 minutes ago, I pulled over on the side of the road when I found out T.J. Watt wasn't playing, and I'm betting more and more on the Cleveland Browns. What could go wrong?
Wow. What's that number at this point? Is that moving?
It was three. I mean, there's a chance it goes down 2.5, 2. I don't know if it's moved in the last 5 minutes. Yeah, so the wise guys bet Cleveland to begin with. They came in and they bet 4 and 3.5, and as of this morning, it was 3, but then the report just came out that T.J. Watt is not going to play, and then Jalen Ramsey is questionable. The market is being bet like the Browns are going to win the game outright.
What does the Ravens game being tomorrow mean to this? Like, if the Ravens lose and they're favored to lose in Green Bay, then who needs the Steelers? So maybe then, you know, your bet on Cleveland is safer.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's going to get any better than now. So if you have a 3, I mean, you didn't ask me for one of my favorite bets, but that's where we're starting. I think if you can bet Cleveland plus 3 right now, you're going to get a great number, and it's only going to move in your favor.
3, 34.5, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Well, Sam, you've been very pro-Bills all season. It's interesting to me that we've made it through Christmas, and even though they're not in the division lead, they're still the best odds or shortest odds to win the conference in the AFC, better even than Denver, which helped itself in its positioning for the one seed last night. You texted me last night, you think the Bills are clearly superior to the Broncos.
I'm not afraid of them. I'm just not. They have a good team. They have an arguably great defense. And then you watch a third-string quarterback kind of do things. Granted, you know, the Chiefs didn't move the ball all that well, but the Chiefs were certainly in that game and had a chance to win that game outright with a guy I've never even heard of. And, Mike, I've been gambling on crazy things for a long time. I've never heard of that quarterback. And maybe that's my fault. But, like, to think that Bo Nix is going to go blow for blow with Josh Allen in the playoffs, I'm just not there. And, you know, I've been banging the drum for 6 weeks that Buffalo is the team to beat, and that's before Mahomes gets hurt and the Chiefs get knocked out. That's before, you know, the whole Burrow thing. Remember 4 weeks ago, oh, don't let Burrow come back and get hot. Okay, that ain't happening. Oh, what about Lamar? Okay, they're not going to make it, probably. And now it's like, now the hot thing is, oh, well, Jacksonville, yeah, okay, yeah. You trust the Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs? Give me a break. We're just looking for reasons as a collective, like a sports, you know, collective to not put the Bills far. And I'm just tired of it, man. And I understand that there are some issues with their defense, but there are issues with every team in the AFC. Like, there is no perfect team. There's no Brady Patriots. There's no Mahomes Chiefs. It's as wide open as it gets. And, you know, the disrespect is not only in the future market, but the disrespect is in this game for Sunday. I mean, this is a pick 'em offshore right now. Buffalo opened 3, Mike. Mm-hmm. And now we're 1, 1.5, and there are some pick 'em. So even on the day-to-day market, people are betting against Buffalo. And I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
And that's another one where a previous game, a game already having been played, could affect sort of at least the vibes. I mean, if New England were to lose somehow at the Jets, and I'm taking the points with the Jets on Sunday, it changes a lot for the Bills incentives-wise against Philadelphia. Is there a quarterback? I know you like to look at this point you make all the time with the AFC through the lens of the quarterbacks. Is there a close second? Is it not Lawrence? Is it Herbert or Stroud or May? Who is the quarterback, if there is one, that you think could, as you put it, go toe-to-toe with Allen?
That's a really good question. I haven't thought about this, and obviously you and I don't change notes or exchange notes beforehand. I would say at full health it's Herbert, but he's not healthy, and their line is just battered right now. But I'm a big fan of that Herbert-Harbaugh combination. So I guess I would put obviously Allen's 1, Herbert 2, and then Lawrence 3, question mark?
Okay, above May?
Yeah, I need to see it from these kids. I think it's been a great season, but we've chronicled how easy their schedule has been in New England. I mean, they have like 1 win over a playoff team.
You're
going to only play playoff team. Yeah, right? You're only going to play playoff teams in the playoffs. Write that down and stamp it. So I'd like to see it from Nix. And last time we saw Nix in the playoffs, everybody knows what happened there. He turned into a pumpkin in the biggest moment. And I need to see it from guys like Nix and guys like May. And even to an extent, a guy like C.J. Stroud, who's never really had a ton of playoff success. It's just, it's opening up in my eyes for Allen, man. As long as he plays an A game, they're not losing.
The Patriots will have a win over the eventual NFC South winner. Say what you want about that, as they've beaten both Carolina and Tampa for that list. Sam Paniatovic with me on the West Her Hotline. Merry Christmas. Mike Shopier, Bulldog, is off today. Let's talk about a couple of the awards markets. I know from watching you and Joe Ostrowski throughout the season that Offensive Rookie of the Year award, it was almost like there was a new favorite every week. Now you had Travion Henderson, and he might miss this game. He left early in Baltimore. What does that look like now?
So I'm pulling it up on my phone. Let's see how I can do two things at once here. So award market, offensive rookie, Tet McMillan, holy cow, minus 310 at DraftKings right now. So it's his award to lose. But you know who the late riser is, like that horse that's kind of closing the gap? It's Tyler Shuck. I believe you talked about this maybe a week or two ago. I think it was you. You were like, that's not a bad number at 20-1. Try 4-1 on Tyler Shuck right now. So McMillan, the big favorite, minus 310. Shuck 4-1, Ibuka 7-1, and then Henderson 20-1.
Is Shuck worth it at 4-1? I mean, they're nowhere near the playoffs. Tennessee and Atlanta the last 2 weeks. Can he do well enough? McMillan, it feels like McMillan is the favorite by default a little bit. I mean, he's good. He's been good. But Ibuka had it, and then he fell off, and then Dart might have had it, and that didn't. Now they don't want to throw the ball. Like, they're trying to preserve him. Henderson gets hurt. Judkins was interesting. He breaks his leg. It seems like somebody's going to back into that award.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a bet to be made. I mean, Joe and I didn't even want to bet Shuck at 20-1. So for me to even ponder it at 4, I want to slap myself in the face because I missed the best of it. I just don't think there's enough of a sample there. Like he hasn't played a lot relative to a guy like McMillan who's been putting up big games here. And I think there's also an appetite. You got a lot of eyeballs on McMillan this weekend, and that's because Carolina is at home against Seattle. Everybody's darling now. There's an opportunity there for Carolina to put up some numbers and put up some points against a very good defense. So if McMillan has a 7-catch, 80-yard touchdown game, it's a wrap on Sunday.
I think so. Yeah, I was a little bit harsh on him. Having him in fantasy, it's been okay. I mean, it didn't bust like a lot of other guys did. He was a 3-4 turn kind of pick, I think, a little later, McMillan. But he's going to get to 1,000 yards, so maybe he really will deserve it in the end. How about Coach of the Year? There have been a few interesting candidates this year. Vrabel is so famous, and the Patriots have done so well, but other guys here and there have been interesting. Ben Johnson, or earlier in the season, it was Steichen in Indianapolis. That's over. What do you think happens there?
So this is always a very fun market because it's never the obvious choice. And as I say that, I look at Mike Vrabel at -110 and think, wow, that's a coin flip. That's what they're saying. They're basically giving you Vrabel against the field. And Vrabel's -110. McDonald, 330. Shanahan, 330. Johnson, 650. Again, you're betting this on December 26th. You're not going to get the best of the number. I think Kyle Shanahan has done the best job of any coach, given what he's dealt with, honestly. And you know me, I had that Niners win total over 10.5. Yoo-hoo! Nice win there. I mean, if I would have told you that Fred Warner and Bosa and Mikel Williams, their rookie first-rounder on defense, and Gross Matos, like all those guys would be out for the year and they would still win 13 games, like you would have had me committed. But, I mean, what he's done with the offense and what Saleh's done with the defense, like to me that's the best combo in the league. And, they're probably going to beat the Bears on Sunday night and have, 12 wins? They could potentially, I don't think it's going to happen, but they could, win the West. If you wanted me to go outside Vrabel, I'd be looking at Shanahan at +330. You might be able to find a better price at a different book, but I'm not laying 110 on Vrabel, and I'm not taking Ben Johnson at 7-1 because I don't think the Bears win. Like, that game is very big for Coach of the Year. Shanahan against Johnson. Whoever wins that one has a chance to unseat Vrabel.
Yeah, seems like maybe Johnson at 7-1 is the bet rather than the Bears on the money line.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. Yeah, if you like the Bears, you might want to pop a little Ben Johnson 7-1. That's a great call.
And I like the Jets. So, am I crazy for liking the Jets, by the way?
No, at this point in time, these teams just got to stay healthy. I mean, do the Patriots really need to win by 21 points? I don't think so. And, I think the Jets, they're spunky, to say the least. They can hang around. I don't think they're going to win, and you didn't say that, of course, but it's a big number to lay on the road in the NFL.
Right. Well, futures bets, we've taken the credit this year with certain bets that I've made along the way. Kansas City to miss, that was Joe on the show with me that day saying that was cute and, they barely won another. I'm not sure they've won another game. I had Indianapolis at 8-2 to lose out. Whew. And I bother you often enough. I didn't find that anywhere. Like an alternate line where they were just going to go 0-7 in their last 7 games. It's 0-5 so far, and like that's obviously live. But I cashed out on all the Colts stuff already, like to not win the division, to miss the playoffs, under 11.5. Come on, we'll take our flowers on that one. But never. I wonder what that would have been, 8-2 to go to finish 8-9. What would the price on that?
Oh, geez. Probably 100-1 or higher. I mean, without doing any math on it. I mean, it's all math. But I would guess you'd be in the triple digit range, 100-1, 125-1. And they're probably going to get torqued by Jacksonville. I mean, that number's like 6. Jacksonville at Indy. That's a lesson. When we get to this conversation next year and we look up after 10 games and Team A is 7-3 with a guy like Daniel Jones at quarterback, just call me and we'll just yell short together. Like, short! That's what you got to do because everybody starts getting crazy and, maybe they can win a playoff game. And the reality is, what goes up must come down for the most part.
The thing for me, Sam, was their schedule. Jacksonville twice, Houston twice, San Fran, Seattle, and one more. And like, all right, well, I don't think they're better than anybody there. So, I mean, you can't predict the injury to Jones, but it was still Daniel Jones. Tough season for them. Okay. So I guess next up for you and me is next Friday, and it'll be 2026.
Ooh, I can't believe we're this far. We're this long in the tooth. By the way, I don't know what the stipulations are because I'm not in New York, obviously. You guys are. I do like Clemson tomorrow in the Pinstripe Bowl, which is at Yankee Stadium. I honestly don't know if you guys can bet that. I don't, because I don't know if you can bet on bowl games that are in the state of New York. I literally have no idea. But if you can, I like Clemson -2.5 against Penn State tomorrow.
I have it on my app, so yes.
Oh, fire. The cannons.
It has to be a New York team, apparently.
So. Okay. See, I always lose track. All these different states are always on their different iterations of the law and what works and what doesn't. So yep. If you can bet Clemson, wink, wink, I would do it. There's going to be some news, I think, at Penn State tomorrow, some opt-outs. Sounds like they're down 4 starters on the offensive line. And James Franklin, Mike, he still has his hand in that cookie jar. He's trying to take guys to Virginia Tech, and a lot of that's going to come out tomorrow, in my opinion.
Clemson and Cleveland, we're into the orange helmets this weekend.
Oh, gross, gross, dude.
Go get your money. Sam, Happy New Year. Thanks for your time, as always.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. I'll talk to you next week.
Sam Paniadovich, Chicken Dinner, his podcast with Joe Ostrowski. You can find that anywhere. Ian Rappaport reports that Max Crosby will be out Sunday. He's been battling a knee injury since October. Apparently, they've already put Brock Bowers down for the season. It's the Giants and the Raiders. The loser is in position A for the number one overall pick, and the Raiders seem to be acting like they know that, which I think I want to give them credit for. But to be fair, for many years I made the point, people pay for tickets. They deserve to see your best guys. So I don't know. When I would say that, we'll talk about this later maybe. When I would say that, I would roundly disagreed with on that point from people who largely had tickets to meaningless Bills games. Like, they didn't care. They understood. Protect your guys, better draft pick. I rarely talked to anybody in the drought years with this point in mind that thought it was also objectionable that teams would sit their best players in meaningless games. This was often more a point about the good teams who were resting guys, like Peyton Manning with the Colts, that kind of thing. Maybe we'll get back to that. 803-0550 if you have a take. At 4, Adam Krautwurst, then Paul Hamilton at 4:30. Just in, Jordan Love out for the Packers. It'll be Malik Willis and then probably Tyler Huntley in that game. Ravens-Packers. Interesting. Mike Shope here. This is WGR.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, welcome inside to another, I'm sure, sterling appearance by our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, I apologize. When we were going over this earlier today, I failed to mention, or last night, whenever it was, we were fashioning the reconfigured schedule for today. I neglected to tell you that Mike would have the day off and that our buddy Nate Geary would be in here today. But Nate is indeed here. Ross joins us now on the West Her Hotline, fresh off of watching 44-year-old Philip Rivers. I mean, what do you want to say here? Compete like crazy, easily. What was it like watching him play quarterback in person last night?
It was awesome. Great to talk with you guys. I'm a big fan of Nate and have been for a long time, so it's cool that Nate's on today. And, you know, I just keep thinking, listening and watching Rivers last night, and I say listening intently, because you could hear all the audibles and checks he was making. I don't know if you guys saw the NFL Films had Aaron Rodgers mic'd up for their game against the Lions. And there's some really good audio out there of Aaron telling Kenny Gainwell what to do before the snap. It turns into a touchdown. I think there's a lot of lessons there. I mean, I don't know that the lesson is that a lot of quarterbacks can play into their 40s. But I think just maybe in general in life, the importance of wisdom, the importance of experience, the importance of intelligence, and I think it really should be a great coaching point, life lesson, teaching concept for younger quarterbacks. Like, watch these guys operate. You know, you always use the expression coach on a field. I think Rivers has been a head high school football coach for like 4 years now. He literally is a coach on the field when he's out there and he plays like it. I mean, you know, he never had the greatest arm, but he does not have a whole lot left in that thing. And yet he's still finding a way to move the ball up and down the field. That was so impressive to me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and he sounded after the game really conflicted about it, because you can tell somewhere, like, however much doubt he maybe even had about whether he could pull this off competently, I think he's at least done that, if not way more than that. And he's saying how he's having this great time, but they're 0-2, right? Like, he was brought in to try to save their playoff season here, and so far he's 0-2. That's got to be a tough spot to be in at 44, retired for 5 years, rolling in and proving, I think, largely you can still do the job, but not getting the result you were brought there for.
Yeah, and, you know, they brought him in to give them a chance to win these games, and he's absolutely done that. I mean, they kicked the go-ahead field goal in Seattle with less than a minute remaining. Defense wasn't able to get a stop. And then last night, their defense couldn't get a single stop, as the Niners didn't even punt it one time the entire game. So he hasn't been perfect, but in my mind, he's absolutely done his job, which is to give the Colts a legitimate chance to beat these good teams.
Yeah, I think there's no arguing that. The defense yesterday, yeah, really let them down. I mean, there was a pick six mixed in there still, but whatever. They were down 14, I think, at the time that ended up happening. So, Ross, moving off of Rivers and your experience there. I won't ask about the ice cream sandwich station because I think it would gobble up the entirety of the rest of the segment. So we'll just blow past that, although we love the Tuck Spread Twitter action always. How much, if anything, did you make of the Bills struggling what I want? I mean, I never felt like they were in danger of losing to the Browns, but it was a three-point game for a lot of the fourth quarter, which, you know, means you're one play away, but I never felt that threatened, but it was a kind of a weird game that way.
It was, and it's funny because I never know. Like I go on in Houston on Tuesday mornings, and they asked a similar question about the Texans barely beating the Raiders, and, you know, is it just a one-week blip? Is it, you know, in between some other big games, or is it symptomatic of something more? And the best answer I have is, talk to me Sunday. You know, I'll know a lot more after we see the Bills go against the Eagles. You know, I'll know a lot more about whether there's anything to be concerned about coming out of that Cleveland game, or if it was just one of those games where maybe the Bills didn't have everything, Josh was banged up, didn't play their best game, the Browns did some positive things, but the Bills still took care of business, showed they could run it when they had to. For the most part, they won the game and did what they needed to do. And so I think that's probably the case, but certainly I'm curious to see what this matchup against Philly's like, because the Eagles, they definitely have a chance at the two seed. I think there's a healthy discussion to be had about whether the difference between the three seed and the two seed is enough to play all your starters, you know, take the injury risk, take the wear and tear. You know, I expect the Eagles to go all out against the Bills. Sounds like they might get Lane Johnson, their best offensive lineman, and Jalen Carter, their best defensive lineman, back for this game. I think the Eagles really need kind of a big win going into the playoffs. I think going up to Buffalo, and if they could win that one, that would really kind of get the vibe back, the momentum back for a team that still clearly has the roster capable of going on a playoff run to the Super Bowl.
Ross, first of all, great to talk to you again, buddy. Hope all is well. I wanted to ask you, we talked with Eric Wood yesterday, and we talked a little bit about, you know, maybe needing to see this Bills offense and needing to see these boundary receivers just do something that might give them the confidence that, like, if they need to rely on their boundary guys, that it can be done in the playoffs. He said something that stuck with me till today, which was, like, maybe they're thinking they don't need the boundary receivers and, like, that they're just going to kind of roll with this offense that is really predicated, at least their pass game, with their running backs and tight ends. And I'm wondering if you think that this team, the way that it's currently built, knowing the issues on defense, that if they are going to try to go into this playoff with their passing attack really flowing through running backs and tight ends, that you think with the AFC the way that it is, that they'll be able to be successful doing that and finally sort of break through here?
Well, I certainly think they can, but saying they can and they will are two different things. You know, they put themselves, I thought, in a bad spot. You know, I mean, this would have been a perfect year, as, you know, I talked about with Mike and Bulldog going back to August or whatever, a perfect year to get the number one seed. You know, that seems very unlikely at this point. And so right now it seems like they're going to have to win three road playoff games. And I don't care how good you are, I don't care how good your quarterback is, that doesn't happen very often. I mean, you guys probably know more than me the last time a team did it, but doesn't seem like it's that common to win three on the road. You are certainly increasing your degree of difficulty. I do think, Nate, to your point, that that's probably the best way for the Bills to go about this. You know, the more they run, the more they possess the ball, the more they keep their defense on the sideline, I think that's a good thing. I don't think they're an overly deep team with the injuries they've suffered along the D-line. So I think you want to try to possess it as much as you can. You know, part of that goes along with throwing the ball to running backs and tight ends as opposed to driving it down the field. And if you think about some of their matchups, like, I wouldn't I wouldn't try to throw it to their outside receivers against Quinyon Mitchell for the Eagles. I can tell you that much right now. Maybe Adoree Jackson on the other side. But this is a tough one, too, because if you're looking to work the tight ends or Shakir, the Eagles probably have, you know, maybe the best nickelback in the NFL now in Cooper DeJean. I know Taron Johnson's had a great run, but Cooper just made the Pro Bowl, and deservingly so. He's been fantastic.
Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker on the Wester Hotline with us. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. You know, you mentioned the thing about three road games, and that certainly is something that's, you know, on the horizon for the Bills if they end up being a wild card. But Ross, Nate and I were talking earlier today. I want the Bills to lean into trying to get the five, because I feel like with the lack of Kansas City and a Baltimore and even Buffalo up top, like where they've been for the last 5 years in the one or the two or the three seed, the likelihood of a wild card team that ends up with 12 wins going on the road and beating a New England is not crazy. And so if I get the five seed and say the Chargers and the Texans are behind me in 6 and 7 and they pull upsets, guess who's not ever going anywhere? the five seed. Like I'm as long as I win. And I don't think that's as far fetched as it normally would be, because you've got, I think, a playoff field that looks maybe ripe for upsets.
Yeah, I think there's probably some truth to that. I mean, I still think, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle for the 6 and 7 teams to go ahead and win, you know, wherever they have to go, to New England or to Jacksonville or maybe to Denver. You know, they're going to be underdogs, I would think. But they can definitely pull it off. I don't think they both would, but they could. But, yeah, there's definitely some logic there that at least getting the five. I mean, interestingly, the Steelers are kind of playing their best football right now.
Yeah, I know.
I still think you'd rather play them probably than the other teams that you know, are ahead of them. So, yeah, I do think even if AFC East gets out of reach, it makes a lot of sense to try to be the five seed for the reason you mentioned.
Ross, I know that Bulldog can't seemingly take Jacksonville serious because of the teal color in their jerseys, but we had our reverse power rankings today and had them number one. And I think we've all sort of started to really believe that this Jacksonville Jaguars team could really be the class of the AFC, the way that, you know, Liam Cohen has Trevor Lawrence playing right now, something like, I think it was like 10 touchdowns in his last 6 quarters. Like, it has just been a really strong run. They look like one of the more complete teams, if not the most complete team in the AFC. And I know you've had a chance to see them in person. You know, what are your thoughts about this Jacksonville team and their potential to maybe make a deep run this year in this playoff field that does not have the big quarterbacks, as we've mentioned many times?
Yeah, right now I would say they're the best team, or at least playing the best. They've won 6 in a row, 5 of those by double digits, and in 4 of them, Trevor Lawrence didn't even have to finish the game. I mean, in 4 of them, Nick Mullins was out there to finish the game. You know, you guys see it. That does not happen very often in the NFL at all. That is super impressive. If you're getting to garbage time 4 times out of a 5-game stretch, they didn't quite get there at Denver, but they went out to the number one seed and won by 2 touchdowns. They have a bunch of guys, including a couple of Penn State guys, Parker Washington, Brenton Strange, that are really good players. They're young. They're kind of under the radar. They're not household names, but there's a chance they will be by the end of January.
Yeah, that team, we got, yeah, we talked about their uniforms last week, you and I together, Ross. But yeah, we got an eyeful of them. They were in the local 4 o'clock window here in Buffalo. And, you know, I mentioned yesterday, maybe a lot of Bills fans maybe sat with them for the first time all year, really. If you're not finding them on NFL Sunday Ticket, whatever. Like, here's, you know, we're winding into playoff time, and here's a couple of teams that are ahead of the Bills. Let's get some eyes on them. And yeah, they were super impressive, Jacksonville. What do you think of Denver off of that performance?
I kind of feel about Denver like I have all year. I think they're a good team, certainly, but you know, they're one of those teams that it's been a little bit too much of the clutch play late. I put them in the Bears category in that regard, where it feels like they've won more than their fair share of those one-score games late when they're behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a believer that, you know, a really good quarterback-head coach combo can help you win more than 50% of them, let's say. But it's like when the Chiefs won 15 in a row. I don't care how good Mahomes and Andy Reid are. You're not that good. You're not beating the odds that good. And it kind of, you know, they had major, major regression in that statistic, in that category this year. Now, maybe the Bears and the Broncos continue to have these magical runs with these late game wins, but it just doesn't feel like that's sustainable. It feels like that's going to dry up. You know, when you're trying to win three games in a row against really good teams.
You mentioned, and we kind of blew past it here, I mean, the Eagles are obviously in here. I want to close with your thoughts on them and their season so far. You did mention that you feel like they could really use a signature win here late in the season, and this would certainly qualify for them. It seems like almost week in, week out, there's always something with the Eagles. Do you think that they will pull it all together? Because the talent is undeniable on both sides of the ball. I mean, I look at their roster. I mean, 3 weeks ago, I would have said there's the best team. I know they don't have the best record, but that's the best team. Do you think that they will pull together and be a threat come playoff time?
Yeah, I do. You know, the concern would be if the offense just peters out in one of these games, because they've had some bad stretches like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense is lights out right now. I mean, lights out. And they really changed some things up schematically the last three games. And as a result, man, they are moving the ball much, much better. Guys are open. You know, Hurts is getting the ball out on time. They're running it better. You know, we'll find out Sunday, because that'll be the best team they've played in a while, but they certainly look like they're heading towards peaking at the right time.
Right. What's the holiday week like for you? Are you got games to go do, or do you get to kind of lay low with the girls?
Well, because there's so many Thursday games and Saturday games, I do not have a TV game this week for CBS. I think CBS might only have four games, because the Netflix on Christmas and Amazon and right. Whatever. You know, fortunately, I'm only 2 hours from the Commander Stadium. So I'll do all of the, you know, Santa festivities. You know, first of all, tomorrow, I'm heading down to my sister's, ironically, in the D.C. area. So I'll be able to be with my sister and brother-in-law and their kids and my mom. So I'll get all my family time in tomorrow after I record a couple of Ross Tucker podcasts in the morning and do all that stuff. And then Thursday, we'll do all the Santa stuff, just myself, my wife, and my two girls. And then I'll drive down to Washington, and I'll do the Commanders and the Cowboys for radio for Western One. If people are driving around in Buffalo, driving around for Christmas, I guess I'm one of the world's foremost experts on playing in meaningless Cowboys, Commanders, you know, Washington games on the holiday. Yeah. I did start one or two of those in my life. So we'll go down there. You know, it's a rivalry game, call a game. I have a tough time turning it down. You know, I know how hard it is
mm-hmm.
to get these opportunities. As my wife says, you know, if you say no, they might not keep asking you. So I'll zip down at 9 a.m., get there at 11, do the game, probably be back home by 6.
Well, I can tell you I thoroughly enjoy whenever I'm – you know, driving home from work or whatever, and you're doing these games, Ross. It's usually must listen for me. So we appreciate you saying yes all the time.
You know what, Nate? That means more than you know, especially when I'm driving to Washington and back by myself on Christmas Day. It's nice to hear, you know, people that I respect like you kind of give me those props. I really appreciate it. It means a lot.
All right, Ross, with that, we will part for the week and look forward to checking in with you again next week, man.
Yeah, man. Huge game Sunday. Can't wait to talk about it with you guys next week.
All right. Looking forward to it, bud. Merry Christmas to you and the family. And we'll hook up before New Year's.
In Western New York. Love you guys. See ya.
All right. There you go. That is Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Boy, it's going to stick with me that Ross said that way about the Eagles, that he thinks they could really use a signature win.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they could.
Yeah.
They've been a very... They remind me of Bills teams over the last couple of years where, man, in dominating fashion, they have looked unstoppable. And there have been games where you're just like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Orlovsky. I know you do too. Mm-hmm. Watching him earlier this season break down how elementary their passing game really kind of devolved into with this new offensive coordinator. I sure feel like it hasn't changed all that much, and you know they've played a pretty easy schedule leading into this game. But yeah, I mean, I think this is an interesting game for both teams in that, you know, they're getting healthy. The Bills aren't quite yet getting healthy, but man, they have one of the most impressive rosters in the league, and when they're playing well, they're as good as anybody in the NFL. And I don't know that we've talked about them, not just, you know, we, but the collective haven't talked about the Eagles in quite the same way maybe we did to end last year. But they feel like they're another team in the NFC that's maybe starting to roll at the right time here as we enter in, you know, into January.
He's Nate Geary in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog. We'll hit up a timeout here. You got about a half an hour if you want to get a call in, a comment, question, whatever it is, because we've got Sabres pregame featuring Paul Hamilton live in Ottawa coming your way right at the top of the hour. Sabres on a six-game heater. Senators have won their last four. So a couple of pretty hot NHL teams meeting tonight in Ottawa. 803-0550 is the number if you want to take us up on that offer. Again, Nate in for Mike on the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You might not know game to game, but thinking back a couple of weeks right around the time when everybody seemed to know that Kevin Adams would be on his way out, Paul said, you know, they're maybe not bad, but for the Sabres to get in it, they're going to need a 10-game winning streak. Well, we're at 7. And wouldn't you know it, Paul, they're in 7th place through 7 straight wins. So this is to your point. It's still so close in that division, though. 10 points top to bottom. A couple more, you get your 10-game winning streak, and they're right there.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's 3 more, and they probably would be in there because, as you know, I go by points percentage because it takes the games in hand out, which means they would only have to pass Ottawa and Washington right now. Sabres are at 556, Senators are at 569, Washington would be in that 8th spot at 581. So, you know, they've gotten over 6. They need 2 more, and that's about what it would take, about 10 wins to, you know, accomplish that and get yourself into that spot.
Several of these recent wins have gone past regulation. And I wonder if you think – so, like, this is something we've talked about through the years when the Sabres have fallen short. Like, they just – too many regulation losses and not enough, quote, loser points. They've had 10 games this year get to overtime. And lately, they've been running well on those games. How much of a skill is that? Like, late in games, when it's, you know, the last commercial break and the game is tied, how much do you think teams can control over, and do they think like this, to get the game to overtime?
Well, if you're trying to get the game to overtime, you got to minimize the chances. And since Seattle, that's what they've done. They've been either tied or in a one-goal game every game since then. And they defended it in every game except the Islander game, which they wound up winning in overtime. And that they didn't get tied up on 5-on-5. It was 6-on-4 that they gave up the tying goal. So really, in 5-on-5, they defended it very well in that game also. So and how are they doing it? Well, they've stopped, you know, handing the puck to the other team and giving them 3-on-1s or breakaways. or in one occasion a 2-on-0, and, you know, just putting your goaltender in a horrible situation. I mean, yeah, the goaltender every now and then has had to make a big save, which is his job. But you don't want to put him in a spot where he has to make five big saves for you, because he's not going to make five big saves for you. He's human. So that's where I think the difference is. They have bought in finally from top to bottom to Lindy Ruff and what he wants them to do, and they're doing it. Instead of this is a hard-headed bunch. They like to do it their way. They think their way is great. And then the next thing you know, they're in last place in the conference. So this time when they were in last place in the conference, they decided, well, you know what? Maybe we should do it Lindy Ruff's way. See how that works. And so far, they've done it that way, and it's worked well.
Have you talked to players about the GM change and whether it's they're saying it or you're thinking it? How much credit does that move get for what's happening?
They're not talking about how much credit it is. They all said they liked Kevin Adams and all that after, you know, they felt responsible for him being fired because they're the ones on the ice and they were the ones screwing things up on the ice. So, it has to help because just talking to the players now, you can just see it's like a cloud lifted off of them. You know, it's like they're freer, and you know, they've for all of them in their Sabre career, it's just been misery. The misery of horrible losses, horrible seasons. You're out of it by the holidays, you know, and it's just year after year pounding at you. And now all of a sudden that's gone and it's a new day. And you have a GM who has actually done the job for 11 years, and he hires a guy to be his assistant who's actually done the job for just as long with the Montreal Canadiens. And it just seems like they're becoming an organization now. I almost seems like, you know, amateur hour is over, and now the pros have taken over. And, you know, it's so far in a week, or however little it's been, has it been a full week yet?
Since the change?
Yeah.
Just a little over.
A little over a week. It just seems like this guy's no nonsense. You know, he's going to tell you the way it is, whether you like to hear it or not. And, you know, he's not afraid to go for it either. And he's already brought in his own people in a couple of occasions. And, so you can already feel that, you know, all right, he wants people that know how he wants things done. He's bringing them here, and I'm sure there will be more to come in the future.
Their first game under Kekalainen officially as GM was last Thursday, so 8 days ago. That's the Philadelphia win on the 18th with Paul Hamilton. So if you haven't already said it, I'm asking about like the how and the why. What's the what here? What are they doing better? You're talking about, you know, the broader spectrum of like listening to the coach and executing whatever that is that you mean. Is there any, what else has contributed to this run?
Well, how many times have you heard me say, just pick a goalie and let him act like the starting goaltender. Let him get on a run. And this is on Lindy Ruff. Don't just sit there. All right. He played two games. He played a bad one. Let's pull him out and let's go to the next guy. That's what he was doing. And nobody could get into the net and get on a roll. Until Lyon has done that. It was in Calgary where it was not going well for Lukanen after 40 minutes. Lyon came out and didn't come out of the net until Lukanen started on Sunday against the New Jersey Devils. And by the way, played probably his best game of the year. Played very well. Held them in that game until they could get their legs. And before that, Lyon hadn't won a game since the end of October against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then all of a sudden he wins every game he's in. You know, he didn't win the Calgary game, but from that, then he got in because of an injury to Ellis in the next game, wins that game, and then he's starting all the rest of them and winning all those. And I fully believe, and I've asked him, and he said it is easier when you get a chance to get in there and get yourself on a roll and, you know, not have to worry about, am I going to be in the next game or whatever. And that's what I felt was missing. You know, pick a guy and make him your starting goalie for a little bit, for 20 games or 25 games. See how that works. Instead of just, Well, two games, he didn't do well. Now let's give the next guy three games. Oh, no, he didn't do well. Okay, that wasn't working, and I think that was one of the key things to this.
Boston here tomorrow night, so I'd assume Lyon again, right? He played in Ottawa.
Yeah, I would think so. Honestly, they really don't have to put Luke in it until the middle of the month if they don't want to. I probably would somewhere in there, you know, because you're playing every other day at times, or there's enough rest that you could keep going with Lyon. But if Lyon pulls a game where he has to face 40 shots or something, I might stick Lucan in there just to give him a rest and not wait until the next back-to-back, which, as I said, it's going to take a bit to get that one. So that's the way I would do it. But yeah, Lyon and Lindy Ruff showed that Lyon is still the number one guy because he didn't come back with Lucan after a great game on Sunday against the Devils, and in my opinion, nor should he have. I mean, Lyon had taken the job, I feel, and I think Lindy Ruff feels, and he should have been back in that, and he was, and he won.
At St. Louis on Monday, then to Dallas Wednesday night, and Columbus in an afternoon game the following weekend. What's the latest on Zucker and then Kulik, Paul?
Kulik still isn't on the ice, and that's we asked Kekalainen about it in Ottawa when we were chatting with him, and he doesn't ever have an answer, and I don't think it's like, I really know, but I'm not going to tell the media. It's a blood clot. You can't predict that. You can't predict when that's going to dissolve or anything like that. And there's a pretty good chance that Kulik feels fine. Yeah. You know, but it's that thing inside of him that they have to get rid of because it's dangerous, a blood clot. And, I imagine it's dissolving it or whatever the doctors are doing with it. So that has to be frustrating for him. He probably feels like he could play, but there's something inside his body that's saying, no, you can't play right now. I mean, I've seen him leaning over the boards. He's on the bench quite often for practice, and like he'll have a stick, and he'll be passing back and forth to players and that kind of stuff in his gym shorts over there at the bench. But that's really, I doubt he's on treadmills or anything else. I mean, he's got to get healthy first. Zucker had a conversation with Lindy Ruff not too long ago, and Ruff said Zucker told him that he'll probably be ready to roll right after the holiday break. So I'll be interested to see if he'll be at the morning skate tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as you know, nobody could practice or even travel today. Normally, the Boston Bruins would have traveled to Buffalo today, but no team can do that. So it's like preseason where you go to the visiting team on the day of the game. I don't know if they'll leave in the morning and morning skate here or if they'll morning skate in Boston and leave a little bit later. I've seen teams do it both ways. And that's why a lot of these games have teams playing that are closer together.
Yep.
I mean, you don't want Pittsburgh to have to go to Las Vegas, on the day of a game type of a situation. So, a Boston to Buffalo flight is not that big a deal. So that's what has to happen tomorrow.
Paul, Kulik probably can't even work out then, right? Like,
I wouldn't think so. No, not with, I think it would probably be dangerous. Of course, I'm not a doctor, as you know, but from what I'm hearing, it just seems like, he's got to take it easy until this is solved, whether it's dissolving it or I don't know how you solve blood clots. Thank God I've never had one, but it has to get solved first. Now, I'm not at all inferring this is going to happen with Kulik, and Lindy Ruff has said that he thinks Kulik will be back sometime this year, but I have seen that end careers where players just have to stop. And again, I have not heard that with Kulik at all. All I know is it's happened, but Lindy Ruff did say back when it happened that he is expecting Kulik is going to be able to play again at some point.
Looking forward to the World Juniors. Do you get up for that tournament?
With Sabres in it, I do. Mertka was supposed to play, but he all of a sudden has come up with an injury, so we're going to have to wait and see if he's going to get into that tournament. But three guys on Team USA, and Zimmer from the University of Minnesota is their captain. And he has always impressed me when he's been here. For a development camp in July. He's been here for a couple and has done a nice job in the 3-on-3 tournament. You notice him on the ice. And, he's playing at the University of Minnesota. Kleber, one of the big right-handed shooting second-round pick defensemen who a lot of people have talked very well about, is playing for Team USA also. And Osborne also is playing. He's a lower pick for the Sabres, but really has come on this year in college, and I've heard a lot of talk about him. So he made the team also for Team USA, so that'll make Team USA a little more fun to watch.
I believe their first game is today against Germany. The tournament's in Minnesota this year. Mm-hmm. So, and we've won the last two, I think.
I think that is correct. You're catching me here. You know my memory. You're the one that usually checks my memory for me.
Not anymore. I should have looked. That would have been the professional thing. And just unfortunately, there's no way to find out who's won the last two World Junior Championships.
Yeah, neither one of us can hit Google, right?
Yeah, I don't have a media guide sitting here next to me that would give me that answer. They didn't send me anything this year. All right, Paul, thanks for your time, and we'll talk next week.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. The Sabres and Bruins tomorrow night in Buffalo. And then I mentioned the schedule next week. It's back on the road for three, starting Monday in St. Louis. St. Louis is kind of down. The league is so tight. I guess it always can look that way. But like in the Pacific Division, Vegas is on top and they have a losing record. 17-18. All right. 17-8-10. But still, like they've lost more games this year than they've won. And that's first place. Weird. Colorado's doing all the damage. The Sabres play Dallas next week, and Dallas has had a fine season also. In the East, Detroit, good. Montreal, pretty good. Carolina, pretty good. And you get into everybody else and right around the middle. The Sabres are 36 games, 18 wins, 18 losses, which I think we should be happy about. Like, it's trending the right way. I think they've been pretty fortunate, these overtime and shootout games, who knows. But maybe they were a little bit unlucky earlier in the season by the numbers, and it's turned in their favor. Great. Season is alive as we get near January 1. Let's get it to January 1, right? Let's get through Boston and St. Louis and Dallas. That's New Year's Eve, I think, without getting, you know, frustrated again. Thanks for listening. Bulldog is off through New Year's. I'm Mike Shope, back with more, and then Sal Capaccio at 5 after this. Football Friday here on WGR.
To get some action tonight. Third down and goal. To the end zone. Touchdown again, Alec Pierce.
Phillip Rivers at 44 years of age definitely had some moments last night. That game began like it was just going to be a track meet with he and Brock Purdy trading touchdown drives, but the Colts just could not handle San Francisco, and Rivers ended up throwing a game. So they were down 14 maybe. He throws the pick six, and that's all she wrote. And I kind of feel like we got maybe a little of everything yesterday, because when it was announced 2 weeks ago that he was coming back, you know, I'm 60. Somebody 44 playing NFL football is compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can he do it? I'm kind of curious to see it. And you kind of feel like a ghoul not rooting for him, right, to an extent. So, boy, you know, thoughts and prayers. I hope this goes well. But mostly in the back of my mind, I was like, this should not work.
No.
You should not be able to, you know, sit out for retire for 5 years, have grandchildren, and walk back in and just be able to go win games in the NFL. So, and he's 0-2. I mean, they were close for a while yesterday, very close last week in Seattle, but still lost. And that was reflected in what he had to say after the game. Like, he's wrestling with how much fun he's having being back and playing and just sort of going through the process, the practice week, and studying and getting ready and all that, and then actually playing. But I think he said last night, you know, I got to check myself because I was brought here to win.
Yeah.
And we're not winning. And so that's tough. But I feel like it's been proven that it is hard. Like, right, he did some very good things.
He kept them in a game.
Someone of any age, I think.
I mean, he put up 30 points, 25, 24 points against an NFL defense in kind of a back-and-forth game for three-ish quarters.
Right.
And, like, you know, not for nothing, if their defense could have stopped a nosebleed,
right,
they might have been it. They would have been in that game.
That's kind of what is maybe the most sad about it, is you probably objectively could look at what he did for them in both of these games. Although, I mean, they were in the teens last week in Seattle, so it's not like the defense left them down there. But
that is just, that's a remarkably good defense.
But the defense is what let them down last night. Really? I mean, again, they got 48, whatever they gave up. They got clobbered.
Yeah, they got smoked.
There was a pick six in there, too, but that's, you know, that was...
And not for nothing.
Rivers.
You know, maybe one of the worst backfire trade deadline all-in, like, I've ever seen.
So quickly.
So quickly.
Right? Did Daniel Jones fracture his leg?
That week.
Right away? Like, as soon as they made that trade, and then the Achilles, and yeah. You know who's sitting pretty? I mean, maybe he'll tell you all about it tomorrow and Friday when Mike is back. I'll be away, and I don't think you'll be here with him. But he got on the Colts not making the playoffs before any of this happened.
Yeah.
He just sort of forecasted, looking at their schedule even, assuming even still health, that they were going to crash and burn, and they have
crashed and burned.
Pretty much crashed and burned.
Yeah.
So any time that was spent worrying about whether they were for real or not has gone away.
You know, and I still think if they have a competent quarterback, that's a very – if they have Daniel Jones still at full health, that's a real offense. I mean, three receivers that I would take any one of on my team. I think Pittman is – grossly underrated as a player. Pierce is going to get the Brinks truck back. He's going to be a $20-plus million-a-year receiver next year. And Josh Downs is a underrated slot receiver. And by the way, they've got a first-round tight end that's also a stud. Oh, and maybe the second-best running back in football. Like, that is – no wonder Daniel Jones, you know, did all right to start this year. Like, you know, and no wonder Philip Rivers at the ripe old age of 44, the grandfather, walked in and thinking like, okay, I can work with this. I mean, this is probably the best group of receivers and weapons that Philip Rivers has had in his career. Like, it was that is a very good offense. If their defense, which is why I think you could have sold yourself at the time if you were a Colts fan, that trading for a true number one corner made a ton of sense. It kind of checked the final box for you as a team, thinking you were knocking on the Super Bowl door. I think it's a cautionary tale of when going all in is appropriate. And if you have Josh Allen, going in all in is appropriate. If you have Joe Burrow, going in all in is appropriate. But when you have a roster that is very dependent on, you know, and not for nothing, the, you know, running backs matter committee has taken a shot the last couple of weeks with without them having a legitimate quarterback. Jonathan Taylor went from averaging like 6 yards a carry to three. So without the quarterback, everything is a little harder there in Indianapolis. But I think they're a cautionary tale of you don't do what they did without a better foundation in place.
I was willing to say that before Jones got hurt. Even.
Yeah.
That, right? Because you mentioned, you know, doing it with Allen, do it with Burrow. I mean, anyone could get hurt. So, like, that could blow up in your face at any moment, right? If the Bills had made a trade for Jalen Waddle, and it included what was the stumbling block, reportedly, that Bean didn't want to give up this coming April's first, but he was willing to go with 27, their first-round pick in 27, and Miami balked at that. If he had decided to do that, and something happened to Josh Allen, you're in the same situation. But banking on Daniel Jones on seven good
games.
Weeks of football
never
seemed like a real sound business decision to me. So I think they kind of got – I don't want to say – I think they got what they deserved. They went out onto the ice hoping it would hold, and they fell in.
I also think – you know, I don't want to necessarily – like, in their defense a little bit here – is most teams are too scared to do what they did.
Right.
I commend them for not being, and a little of it I think is the, and not necessarily in a bad way, but the ignorance of, you know, Ursay's daughters, coming in and saying, hey, you know, this, like, I wish that more general managers and ownership played with sort of the, you know, whimsical, like, hey, like,
we're gonna go
why
big.
Wouldn't we go for this?
Right.
Because I think Most NFL general managers are so scared of their own shadow. They're so scared of being wrong. And here's a new owner who's, you know, on the sidelines, is active, is trying to understand better what's happening within the organization, saying, don't let me stop you. If you think this is the move, make the move. And I can appreciate the sort of ignorance that you have to have in the NFL to make big swings like that, because I just think most teams are just too scared of how fleeting their jobs are, and how, you know, very small these windows are.
There is a self-preservation that I think comes. I think I probably in my career have overstated it numerous times, but I think it would be silly to overlook the reality of the person in that job going, all right, if I do this and it doesn't work, I'm in real trouble.
Right.
Whereas if I don't do this, and we just sort of keep going.
This could buy me another 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Just prolong my shelf life, and like hopefully something good will happen to me and to us in that time, and I'll get even more time. So like, why shorten my own tenure potentially by taking the big swing and missing? Right. I mean, the jobs can be hard to come by. So there is that. So the Bills clinch a playoff spot now. So six of the seven spots are decided. We've got Pittsburgh and Baltimore still fighting it out. And Indianapolis is not dead yet because of Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I guess there's a scenario where Indy could still end up in a wild card spot ahead of Pittsburgh. They're only a game back if they were to win out and Pittsburgh loses out.
And then Baltimore
passes Pittsburgh in that scenario.
But then who would fall out of the wild card scenario? It would have to be Houston. Houston would have to lose out.
No, yeah, I'm sorry. I botched that. Yeah, thank you. I screwed that up.
Yeah. So they're out. Indy's out, correct?
They don't have an E there. So there's like a tiebreaker thing. They can still...
So they're technically like it's 1%, but they're alive. They're not completely dead.
Yeah, they don't have an E, right? I'm not wrong there, am I? I think they are still alive.
It would be then, it would have to be Houston losing out, finishing 8-9, them having the tiebreaker over them.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
And Indy plays Jacksonville this week, correct? I believe. We did this yesterday.
Yeah, we're going to continue to do it. Yeah. Who do you want here?
Houston's Indianapolis. Who Indy's playing?
Indianapolis has got Jacksonville at home this week.
So,
and they close at Houston.
So we assume... Wait, so they play Houston, you said, Indy?
After Jacksonville.
After Jacksonville. Okay, so Phillip Rivers is going to play football again this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, the Bills are clinched. That's the point. I didn't need to confuse everything with, like, the permutations of the, you know, still, the teams, whether they're hanging on to a sliver of life. The Bills are out to be either a wild card or get the, you know, win the division. How hard do you want to go from here? How much do you care about 5, 6, or 7?
They need the 5.
Right?
It's the closest thing they can have to having a home game.
Right.
Is going to Pittsburgh, where Bills fans will fill half of that stadium, and they just came off a game 3-4 weeks ago where they ran the same play 25 times and beat them by 25 points or whatever it was. So, yeah, no, like that's the best case scenario for me, and it might be the best case scenario of any scenario, including the Bills, other than the Bills having a bye week. So I this is how I think I would rank what I'd like to happen to the Bills. Number one is they win the division and they find a way to the one seed and win the one seed. Have the bye week. Mm-hmm. That's your best case scenario. The second best case scenario is playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the only way that's happening is if you're the 5, because they're going to win their division.
Right.
That's the only way they're going to make the playoffs. So at least that's kind of been my modus operandi. So like, to me, the second best scenario possible on the board for the Bills, other than a bye week, is going to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers.
And you think that's even better than winning the division and being the 2?
Correct. And facing
Houston?
In the first round. Again, we're not, you know, scared of Houston, but if you're telling me, if somebody asks you right now, you could host the Texans in the wild card round or go on the road to the Steelers and you pick the Texans at home, other than you wanting to tailgate and go watch a football game at that stadium, which I could, you know, I guess I could understand. The best route for the Bills to make it to the divisional round is going through Pittsburgh.
If they won the division and got the two, though, you're looking at two home games.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you got to get through Houston first. I know.
I think the way it sets up, if you're the five, they might end up being at home anyways.
That's the biggest reason to get the five.
Yeah.
Like, I'm asking the question simply because it's a conversation I think fans are going to be having. We're going to hear from people over the next 2 weeks. You know, rest is so important. You guys always say it, rest is even more important than being at home. And, like, yeah, my name's on that.
Yep.
So, but at the same time, in order to get the opportunity to have the most advantageous looking matchup and potentially still be at home, realistically, the five is where I think you need to live. Because the upsets below you could easily happen.
I think it's the 1 year I look at and say, this is also the case for everyone in the national media that wants to make this whole playoff about the easiest route Josh Allen's ever going to have. I get what they're saying. I don't agree with it. I think it's arguably, I think there are teams far closer together in this playoff than there have been in the last couple of years when the Bills have faced Skylar Thompson in the first round. Like that, the last 2 years, last two of the last 3 years, those Miami teams, I was like, gosh, okay. There's no Miami team
right. In
the wild card round. I mean, maybe you can make the case it's Pittsburgh.
Right.
Right? And they're going to host a playoff game. So out of the three wild card teams, there is no, to me,
right. No
pushover. In fact, I look at those division winners and I think there's a couple of these teams that are better than them. So, yeah, I am on team five seed. Get it however you need to, and get on the road, go face the Steelers team, and hey, roll the dice. You might be playing at home anyways.
Right. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you want to get in on this conversation, we would love to have you. We'll have a little time after this timeout. Then we've got Sal Capaccio at 4, Ross Tucker at 5, and the Sabres with Paul Hamilton live in Ottawa with pregame coming your way at 6. He's Nate Geary sitting in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays. sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.